Ever feel like, I don't know, it's like you're trying to grab onto your own self-definition, you know, who you are, but it's like trying to hold smoke,
Yeah.
always changing on you.
Right. It's so slippery.
Yeah, today we are diving into some deep end psychology stuff, the kind that really makes you flip the script on, like, what makes us us in the first place.
Totally.
Get ready, folks, because this deep dive is going to make you rethink what it even means to be an individual.
Yeah, this is one of those real paradigm shift ideas, you know? We're so used to like the self-help world being about the self,
Okay,
obviously.
exactly.
But hold on, what if the real, I don't know, the real key to growth or change, what if it's actually about our relationships, the connections?
Okay, so we're tackling this head on. We're starting our deep dive with a statement from psychotherapist Walter Lodgman, and it's a doozy. There is no such thing as a person. I
Whoa.
know, right? His blog post is what kicked this whole thing off.
I mean, he's aiming to get your attention with that one, right? And Lugman's building on some big thinkers here, folks. People like Winnicott, Jacob Moreno. He's not like actually saying you don't exist,
Right.
but this idea we have of the isolated individual, just one person all by themselves, that's the illusion he's pointing at.
So, more like we exist, but always in relation to other people.
Always, from the very beginning. We have to even get going, always have, always will be connected.
So, it's kind of like that saying, right? Like, no man is an island.
Exactly.
But, like, Lugman's taking it way further than most people would think about.
Oh, absolutely. He's saying our identities, who we think we are, they aren't just influenced by our relationships, they're literally made through them. Like, think back to Winnicott. He's got that famous line, there's no such thing as a baby
Without a mother.
without a mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't mean it literally, but the point is, from day one, our very existence, it's all tangled up with someone else's. We are never truly like alone, alone.
That's such a powerful way to picture it. Wow. So, okay, if we're not born as these like lone wolf individuals, how do we even begin to think about what shapes us into who we become?
That is the question, isn't it? And that's where Jacob Moreno's work comes in. Ever heard of the term social atom?
I feel like maybe in passing, but refresh my memory.
Okay, so picture this. The most important people in your life, right? They're clustered around you almost like, I don't know, your own little personal solar system.
Okay, I'm with you.
Moreno, he argued that there are certain relationships that are absolutely essential for us, not just like nice to have, but crucial for our survival as babies, of course, but then all the way through for our development as people, like that classic example, mother, father, child, that triad. And this isn't just like Hallmark card stuff. He believed these bonds are literally the foundation of how we experience reality itself.
Whoa, okay, so it's not even just that they're important to us. It's like they actually define the whole playing field we're operating on.
Exactly.
That is a lot to like unpack on a Tuesday morning. Wow.
Right. And it gets even more mind-bending because Lodgman takes this social atom idea and then he adds another layer, surplus reality.
Okay, surplus reality.
Right.
It kind of sounds like leftovers or
But
something, but I guess it's a little deeper than
you
that.
got it. It's way more like, imagine you've got an iceberg, right? Big ol' iceberg. So the tippy top, the part everyone sees, that's you, like the individual you present to the world. But under the surface, man, there's this massive structure of ice down there shaped by currents and time and stuff you can't even see.
Right.
That, my friend, is kind of like surplus reality. It's that invisible network of all the relationships we've ever had, the ones happening right now, all those memories we're carrying around,
Oh, wow.
unspoken dynamics, you know, those emotional patterns we inherit from family or like learn from being around certain people, all that stuff. It's constantly shaping us, whether we realize it or not.
So it's like our past, especially those early relationships, they're not really in the past. More like invisible strings still kind of tugging at us to the people and like the whole vibe of how we grew up.
That's a great way to put it.
That's a lot to think about.
It is, but it's also incredibly powerful once you start to see it. Lodgman, he believes those invisible threads, that's where the key is to really understanding like, what are we even struggling with psychologically? And then how do we heal?
Man, that is fascinating. So, okay, so if our problems aren't just like in us, you know, but they're kind of tangled up in this whole web of relationships we carry, I mean, how does it even change how we think about therapy in the first place?
Ooh, that's where things get really, really interesting. It challenges us to like rethink therapy entirely. So we've got these wounds, right? These places were still kind of tender from how relationships went, maybe way back when. Lodgman's saying, well, if those connections are the source of the trouble sometimes, they can also be the source of healing.
Okay, so it's not as simple as me just like laying on a couch, spilling my guts to some therapist and hoping for the best.
Nope, not that simple.
There's more to it. Like, yeah. It's about the connection itself, right? Between me and the therapist. That becomes part of it.
100%. It's like its own little surplus reality forming right down the room.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's a chance to, I don't know, explore those deeper patterns, you know? Like, not just what you're struggling with, but how the echoes of old relationships are still maybe causing pain right now in the present.
You know, that actually makes a lot of sense to me. I've always felt like good therapy is not just talking about your problems, right? Mm-hmm. There's something different that happens, something that feels healing, but it's in the room with that other person.
Exactly. You get it. And this is where Logman, he takes it even further, gets even bolder with it.
Okay. Lay it on me.
He starts to really challenge the traditional ways we think about therapy, especially the models that are so focused on the individual. Like, he even says some types of couples therapy, he's critical of them because they act like each person has to do all this individual work first before the relationship can actually be healthy. And he's like, hold on a second.
Yeah, like, what if that's not even the right order of things?
Right. He points to stuff like Harel Hendricks' imago therapy. That's a prime example.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Imago therapy. They're like, the relationship is the client, not the two people separately.
Okay, yeah. Unpack that a little bit, because I know folks might not be familiar.
So it's all about those unconscious images we have in our heads about, you know, romantic partners, relationships.
Right, the imago, like, it's not really them, it's our own pattern.
Exactly. And those patterns, they often go way back, like childhood stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hendricks, his thing is that he believes we don't just pick partners randomly.
Of course not.
Right. We're drawn to people who, I don't know, it's almost like unconsciously they trigger those familiar patterns, even if the pattern itself isn't, like, healthy.
So it's like we're trying to heal these old wounds, right? Mm-hmm. Like stuff we didn't get as kids, and we're trying to get those needs met through our romantic relationships.
That's a really good way to put it.
Which is a lot of pressure to put on your love life.
It is. It's a lot. And that's exactly why working directly with the relationship, like imago therapy does, that's so important according to them. It's about both people realizing, oh, here's that pattern again together.
Makes sense.
Understanding where it comes from so it's not so loaded, and then finding ways to actually be with each other, like support each other's growth, but in ways that are actually healthy, you know?
Logman actually mentions a quote from Hendricks that really stuck with me. He says, the purpose of marriage is to heal childhood wounds.
Whoa.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, powerful thought, but kind of intense, right?
It's a lot to take in. And I think the thing to remember is, like, healing those old wounds, it doesn't mean we go blaming our parents or anything, or even past partners.
Right.
It's more about each person taking responsibility for their own journey of healing, right? Mm. But part of that responsibility is recognizing how much those early relationships impact us. And then, like, having compassion for ourselves, but also for the other people involved.
Like, yeah.
We're not just these, like, totally self-made individuals stumbling through the world, you know, just randomly bumping into each other.
Totally.
We're all carrying around these invisible threads, those relationship patterns, and they're connecting us to each other all the time, shaping every interaction.
It's like we're all in this giant, messy dance.
Yes. And most of us, we don't even know the steps.
100%. And the more aware we get, right? Like, the more we start to see those patterns, the more conscious we become of that whole surplus reality thing.
Yeah.
That's where the power comes in, to actually make different choices.
Yeah.
To actually heal and build relationships that are healthier, more fulfilling, the kind we actually want.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It really makes you wonder, like, what would even happen if we all went about it this way?
Right. Approached all our relationships with that understanding. That they're not just about, like, my individual happiness or whatever.
It's bigger than that.
So much bigger. It's about growth and healing.
Yeah.
But together. Man, that's a lot to process. I bet Lugman would agree with that one.
He does, actually. In fact, he ends his blog post with this very provocative statement. Yeah. It's one that really, really makes you rethink everything we've talked about, even.
Okay, now you have to tell me, what's this mic drop statement of his? Don't leave me hanging. What's the big statement?
He writes, individuals are a myth.
Whoa, okay. Strong words. Individuals are a myth, I mean. What does that even mean for how we live, how we do relationships, like everything? Is he saying we're all just, what, figments of each other's imaginations or something?
It's definitely a statement designed to, like, shake things up, make you really think. I think what Lugman wants is for us to question this whole idea, like, way down deep, about how we even understand ourselves in the first place.
Right, right.
Because if we really take his perspective seriously, then what it means is our individual identities, they're not these solid, independent things, you know? They're way more fluid than that, interconnected, always being shaped and reshaped by how we interact with other people.
So it's not about, like, denying that we have personal responsibility or saying, oh, I'm just a puppet of my past relationships or whatever.
Right.
It's more like recognizing just how huge of an influence those connections actually have on who we turn out to be.
Right. Huge.
It's kind of like we're each a work in progress, but other people, they're holding some of the paintbrushes. You know, it's not all just me making myself.
That's a good way to think about it. And that realization, it can be really freeing for some people, but also kind of daunting because it means healing and growth, like the real deal. It doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in the mess of things, the beauty of our relationships, the ones we've had and the ones happening right now. It's in those connections, even the hard ones, the imperfect ones. That's where we figure out who we actually are.
You know, something Lagsman really hammers home is it's not just the physical reality of those relationships that makes such a difference, but that surplus reality he keeps talking about, the stuff we don't see happening. Mm-hmm. He even says at one point, what is significant is surplus to the physical entities. It is imaginal, relational, and systemic. It's like, I don't know, there's another whole dimension of reality we're swimming in, made up of emotions, memories, all these patterns.
Yeah.
And most of the time, we're just barely aware of it.
Right. It's a lot to wrap your head around. But I don't think the takeaway is to get totally lost in how complex it is. I think it's more about, what if we approached our relationships, all of them, with more curiosity and compassion?
Yeah.
Like, what if instead of only seeing what's right there on the surface level, we could actually see those invisible threads he's talking about connecting us all the time?
Man, that would change how we think about conflict, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Imagine the next time there's like a blow up with your partner or a friend or whoever, and instead of just focusing in on, okay, what are your flaws or what'd you do wrong?
Yeah.
You stop and you're like, hold on, what's the surplus reality at play here?
Yeah.
What are the unseen forces, maybe even past experiences, that are shaping what's happening right now?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole different ballgame.
Totally. It's a game changer because that shift in perspective, it can lead to such profound insights and ultimately to a deeper understanding and a deeper healing, both within ourselves and in our relationships. Instead of pointing fingers, we can start to see the whole picture, you know.
This whole deep dive has really given me a lot to think about. You know, it's almost comforting in a way, this idea that we're all connected like this,
mm-hmm.
that our own stories, they're woven together by those invisible threads, even if we don't always get it, even when it's messy.
Mm.
We're never really alone in it.
That's a really beautiful way to put it. It's a perspective that encourages us to approach ourselves, our relationships, and even just the world in general with more humility, more curiosity, a willingness to see beyond just what's right in front of us, you know?
So as you go about your day, as you interact with people, even just those little moments, right? The barista making your coffee, someone you're sharing a bus with. Remember, you're not an island. You're carrying around the echoes of so many relationships, all those experiences that made you you. Lean into that. Be curious about those connections. And even when there's conflict or distance or whatever it is, remember the potential for healing, for growth. It's not just inside of you. It's in that space between you and the other person.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we'll leave you to ponder the profound implications of this deep dive into the very essence of self and connection. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.